Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to the current talk series presented by Professor G. Venkatraman. Due to pressure of other work, Professor had to skip his normal schedule. Instead, he is presenting his fourth talk today. And the title is, An Unusual Message from an Unexpected Quarter. Over to Professor Venkatraman.
Loving Sai Ram, dear listeners, and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam. This is my fourth talk in the current series, and I am sure you must be intrigued by the mysterious title announced by Sunil, namely, An Unusual Message from an Unexpected Quarter. In a few minutes, you would begin to appreciate that the title is not as confusing as it might appear. Now, let me begin with a question. How many of you have heard of Stephen Hawking? Quite likely, most listeners to Radio Sai have not. Keeping that in mind, my first duty is to tell you that after Albert Einstein, Stephen Hawking is the only scientist to enjoy what is often called rock star status. Now that says a lot. Early in his life, Hawking developed a serious disability known as ALS. Go and look up the net for what it stands for. Now this ALS confined Hawking to a wheelchair. In addition, Hawking not only lost the ability to write, but also to speak clearly. As against this, his brain functioned brilliantly. That's the way life is. Pluses and minuses. Recognizing Hawking's genius, a computer company integrated into his wheelchair a special voice synthesizer capable of picking up Hawking's vocal cord movements and converting them into a synthetic computer voice. This device helped Hawking to not only communicate with colleagues, but also engage in research. In fact, he even addressed conferences. You might ask, if Hawking is such a great hotshot, has he won the Nobel Prize? The short answer is no. You may be surprised by that, but there is a curious reason for it. You see, the world of physics is chock full of brilliant theoretical physicists, constantly making amazing predictions. Every time a fantastic prediction is made, people like me always exclaim, wow, this guy is sure to go to Stockholm this year. By the way, Stockholm is where the Nobel Prizes for the sciences are given away every year. Coming back to physics, the Nobel Committee for that subject is extremely careful. It's made of tough guys, and the committee does not hand out prizes for mere predictions, however spectacular they might be. Instead, they wait until the prediction is conclusively verified experimentally. Fair enough. Now it turns out that according to the known laws of physics, Hawking's prediction has to be true. I don't have time to explain what that prediction is, but please take that to be correct. However, the experimental verification of Hawking's prediction would take millions of years, by which time we humans as a species may cease to exist. So, brilliant though he may be, Hawking would never get the Nobel Prize. What a pity. Perhaps as a saving grace, Hawking has become a multimillionaire via his bestseller titled A Brief History of Time. Many of you might say, all this is fine, but what has Stephen Hawking got to do with your series, which is supposed to zoom in on the indispensability of moral values in this, the globalized age? That exactly what I shall turn to next. About 2 weeks or so ago, Hawking released a press statement which stunned me. And the reason was, Hawking suddenly realized that there was an entire world outside of his cocoon, a world in which there lived large numbers of people who had been suffering for a long time and were finally giving vent to their anger and deep frustration. In turn, that awakening made Hawking realize that like everyone else, he too had an obligation to society that was supporting and sustaining him in his own personal exalted ivory tower. Now, I was astonished by Hawking's remarks, but also felt good about it because for over 30 years, I have been pleading with smart theoretical physicists in this country, India, to step out of their own ivory towers, paid for by taxpayers, and do something for our society. Time permitting, I shall return to this topic later, but for now, let me turn to the statement released by Stephen Hawking. First, some background. What actually shook Hawking were two events, both political, one in the UK and another in America. Politics-wise, these two events have little in common, and yet, together, they made a powerful impact on Hawking because they exposed the deep frustration and anger that large segments of society now feel because they have hardly received any benefits from the so-called progress, including globalization. Shaken by this, Hawking, for the first time, looked out of his privileged bubble and started reflecting on what he owed to society for supporting and sustaining his splendid isolation for several decades. Now, at this stage, I must interrupt my talk to emphasize that as a rule, Radio Sai stays clear of politics. That said, I have, however, made a rare exception in this talk for reasons that would become clear shortly. With that caveat, I now quote from Hawking's opening remarks. He says, quote, "As a theoretical physicist based in Cambridge, I have lived my life in an extraordinarily privileged bubble. Cambridge is an unusual town centered around one of the world's great universities. Within that town, the scientific community that I became part of in my 20s is even more rarefied." End of quote. Hawking then continues, "They, i.e. the theoretical physicists, might sometimes be tempted to regard themselves as the pinnacle. In addition to this, with the celebrity status that has come with my books and the isolation imposed by my illness, I feel as though my ivory tower is getting taller." End of quote. Hawking then abruptly changes gear to comment on social upheavals he had earlier ignored. And he says, quote, "The recent apparent rejection of the elites in both America and Britain is surely aimed at me as much as anyone. Whatever we might think about the decision by the British electorate to reject the membership of the European Union and by the American public to embrace Donald Trump as their next president, there is no doubt in the minds of the commentators that this was a cry of anger by people who felt they had been abandoned by their leaders." End of quote. The cry of anger and the feeling of abandonment that Hawking referred to is really the central point of this talk, and it is necessary for me to briefly offer some background to the two political events Hawking refers to. Let me begin with the British public recently voting to quit the European Union. At the end of World War II, many countries in Europe decided to come together by cooperating on various fronts, mostly economic. Thanks to the steady progress made in this direction, in 1992, 12 countries of Europe signed what is referred to as the Maastricht Treaty. The heart of this treaty was to create a single European currency so that Europe as an entity had a currency to challenge the international supremacy of the dollar. For the record, the EU membership today is much greater than what it was at start, namely 12. Okay, shortly after the Maastricht Treaty was signed, the then Prime Minister of Britain joined the EU with a sort of having the cake and eating it too approach. In simple terms, the British Prime Minister wanted Britain to have access to the economic benefits of the EU, but not the euro, which was to be introduced later. Furthermore, the British Prime Minister wanted Britain to have the option to leave the EU if and when the people of Britain felt that way. He put a lot of conditions and made a big fuss about getting into EU. The people in EU accepted it because Britain was a very big power in Europe. Okay, the euro came into existence on January 1st, 2002, but Britain refused to adopt the euro, preferring its own currency, i.e. the pound. For a while, everything seemed to be okay, until the American economy suddenly nosedived into a deep recession in September 2008. That sent shockwaves around the world, and Britain was one of the countries to be seriously affected. And the pinch was too hard for the British people to bear. One thing led to another, and on June 23, 2016, a referendum was held in Britain asking the British public to choose whether Britain should continue to stay in the EU or leave. The majority voted to quit the EU, a decision that then came to be known as Brexit. I am not done with politics yet, for I now have to make a brief reference to the recent American presidential election held on November 8, 2016. As most of you must undoubtedly be aware, contrary to the prediction of most pollsters and political pundits, Mr. Donald J. Trump won the election and is now all set to be sworn in as the 45th President of the USA on January 20th, 2017. Two different votes on two different continents on two totally unrelated matters. Was there anything common to these two events not easily perceptible? There sure was. The deep sense of anger and frustration of a large segment of the voting public. I now revert back to Hawking and allow you to listen to what he says about these events. He says, and I quote, "It was, everyone seems to agree, the moment when the forgotten spoke, finding their voices to reject the advice and guidance of experts and the elite everywhere." End of quote. Two critical phrases, the cry of anger and when the forgotten spoke. Those phrases summarize Hawking's essential point. To put it plainly, Hawking was telling us, you know what? For the first time, we who live in a tall ivory tower had to take serious note of what was happening in society deep below us, society that was supporting us to live in splendid isolation. For decades, we took this support so much for granted that we never bothered, not even once, about the problems that ordinary people who make up the bulk of society faced. That's a paraphrase of what Hawking is telling us. Let me go back to Hawking, who now says, and I quote, "What matters now, far more than the choices made by these two electorates, is how the elites react. Should we, in turn, reject these votes as the outpourings of crude populism that fail to take account of the facts and attempt to circumvent or circumscribe the choices that they represent? I would argue that this would be a terrible mistake." End of quote. What Hawking is essentially saying is, and this is the paraphrase, listen, should we, the elites, just criticize the voting choices made by a majority and go back to our respective ivory towers? To do so would be a huge mistake. Well, after all this, the question now becomes the following. So, what should the elites do? Hawking's response is that instead of being dismissive, the elites have to take serious notice of the cry of anger and the voices of the forgotten. But first, what really bothered the forgotten? What was that cry of anger all about? In my view, there are two layers to the answer. Hawking refers to just one of them and makes no mention of the other. Keeping this in mind, let me quote Hawking again, who says, quote, "The concerns underlying these quotes about the economic consequences of globalization and accelerating technological change are absolutely understandable. The automation of factories has already decimated jobs in traditional manufacturing, and the rise of artificial intelligence is likely to extend this job destruction deep into the middle classes, with only the most caring, creative or supervisory roles remaining." End of quote. Maybe I should pass that for the benefit of our listeners. In the early 70s, both the UK under Margaret Thatcher and America under Ronald Reagan blessed a political change from controlled capitalism to a free market type of capitalism. I believe I made a reference to this in one of my earlier talks. But the net result of this liberalization was that millions of people who belonged to the working class started losing jobs because their employers could hire and fire as they pleased. Even as this process started, technological advances in the shape of A, automation, B, mass transport of goods across continents, and C, the internet, together not only accelerated job losses, but also led to income stagnation for the middle and lower classes. Bearing that in mind, let's get back to Hawking, who says, and I quote, "So, all things taken together, we are living in a world of widening, not diminishing financial inequality, in which many people can see not just their standard of living, but their ability to earn a living disappearing. It is no wonder then that they are searching for a new deal, which Trump and Brexit might have appeared to represent." End of quote. Hawking says a lot more, but I do not have the time to discuss that. Let me just quote how he concludes. First, he summarizes the challenge humanity faces presently. Quote, "We face awesome environmental challenges like climate change, food production, poor population, decimation of other species, epidemic disease, acidification of the oceans, and so on." End of quote. Hawking then says, "For me, the really concerning aspect of this is that now, more than at any time in our history, our species needs to work together." End of quote. The point to be noted is that Hawking says that humans must work together and cooperate proactively. Hawking believes that the dangers facing us humans would compel us to move vigorously in the direction of intense cooperation, and he ends on an optimistic note. I must incidentally draw attention to a recent book by Thomas Friedman, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, titled "Thank You for Being Late, An Optimist's Guide to Thriving in the Age of Accelerations." This is a book that attempts an original theory for how the current situation came about. As the title shows, Friedman also is optimistic about the future. I entirely agree that optimism is very much required, especially at the present juncture. There is no question about that. It is also nice to talk about working together, etc., to save the humankind, the environment, and so on. However, as mathematicians often say, certain conditions and stipulations are necessary, but not sufficient. What Hawking and Friedman recommend belong to this category, which automatically implies that something is missing. What is it that is missing? In my opinion, because of their respective backgrounds, both Hawking and Friedman refuse to acknowledge that a human being is much more than just the body and the mind. Besides the body and the mind, all of us are also endowed by our Creator with a heart. Among other things, the heart is the source of compassion. Sadly, this is not evident to the elites. They think the problems we are now facing can be solved via technology, innovation, and so forth. I am afraid that no amount of technology, retraining, etc. can soothe the anguish of the forgotten. What the anguished people need are those who are prepared to patiently listen to their cry of anger and then give them time and spend energy comforting them and helping them. See, compassion always flows from the heart and not from machines and technology. If the heart is excluded, all blueprints for dealing with the current situation are bound to fail, quite likely after spending a lot of money. In an earlier talk, I have already drawn attention to the tricks that mind can play. Building on that, today I would like to mention that to the extent possible, the mind must be turned away from the material and the phenomenal world to Swami's teachings. Among other things, Swami has in so many discourses stressed the importance of placing a ceiling on desires. Do you think we would be having the situation we have today if people, especially the well-to-do and the well-educated, placed sharp restrictions on their own desires and spared a thought for those whom Hawking describes as the forgotten? Think about it. My time is up and that's all I have time for today. Hope you find this series thought-provoking and would continue to listen to the talks that follow. God bless and Jai Shri Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, that concludes Professor Venkatraman's fourth talk in the current series. As always, do write back to us with your comments and observations to listener@radiosci.org. Thank you for listening and giving Radio Sci the privilege of serving you. Jai Sai Ram.